In today's khutbah, I would like to talk about the importance of the criteria that Islam uses in evaluating a person. Sometimes we see people prefer one person over the other on the basis of race and tribe. Many times we look at the status of the person and his position in society. And in many cases, we look at the bank balance and the wealth of the person. These are different standards that people use. But if you look at Islam, especially if you go to that ayat which is known as the ayat of birr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the criterion of righteousness, you will see that at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the character and the akhlaq of a person. And in that, the most important, qualities would be actually the issue of truthfulness and trustworthiness. Look at the example of the Prophet himself. The Prophet, as a Nabi, was Nabi from day one. We believe that Nubuwwat is there from day one. The example of Isa ibn Maryam is there. He was just a few days after his birth. In the cradle, he says, وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيَّ. And Allah has made me a Nabi. So Nubuwwat doesn't depend on age. But the Risalat is something else. A person can be a Nabi, but he doesn't start his mission of conveying the message to the people until Allah says, now it is the time. When did the Risalat of our Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when did it begin? When he became 40 years old. Was there a need for him to kind of mature for 40 years before he starts that work? No. It's not like a, graduation process that you go through studies and levels until you become a Rasul. Perhaps, one reason was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the people of Makkah to identify and recognize the character of the Prophet before he even starts talking about Islam. And he was known by the mushrikeen of Mecca as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin long before he started talking about Islam. There was a time when because of the flood, those of you who have been to Umrah or Hajj, you know that Mecca is right in the shallow area. They are all, hills on the side. And when there is a lot of rainfall, basically it floods that area. And the walls had become weak, so there was need to repair it. So they had to move the stones and put it again. And so when the time came to put back the black stone, the four major tribes of Mecca started fighting. Who will have the honor of putting this black stone back in its place? So they were arguing and then said, okay, let's wait. The first person who comes from this gate, we'll ask him. And it happened to be with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it happened to be Muhammad bin Abdullah. Not yet a Rasul. And as soon as they looked at him, they said, Radina bil Amin. We agree with this trustworthy person. Whatever he says, we will go with it. And the Prophet, with the wisdom that Allah has given to him, he put down his Aba there. He said, put the stone on it. And the chiefs of the four tribes hold the four corners and lift it. And when it's to the level where it has to be placed, Rasulullah himself took the stone and placed it there. So everybody was happy with that. But the point is that when they said, Radina bil Amin, they had recognized him as a trustworthy person even before the mission of Islam started. And this is where the sixth Imam says, "Inna Allah Azza wa Jalla lam yab'ath nabiyyan," that Allah has not raised any Nabi, illa bi sidq al hadith wa ada' al amana, except with these two important qualities. One is truthfulness, the other is trustworthiness. Ila al birr wal fajir. It doesn't matter that the amanat is to be given, the trust is to be handed over back to the person who was righteous or a sinful person. Even if a sinner comes and says, "Can you keep this, you know, item for me in trust? I'll take it back." I can't say that because he's a sinful person, so I can just take it. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, these two qualities are so important, that if you were to ask me that if I want to test the character of a person, what do I do? Do I look at his namaz and roza? I will say no. And these are not my words. This is based on the hadith of the Imam. Again, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, "La takhtarru bi salatihim wa la bi siyamihim." Do not be deceived by the prayers and fasting of the people. فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ رُبَّمَا لَهِجَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ. Because sometimes, you know, people are trained from childhood and they build that habit and punctuality and they do it on time and regularly without missing it. حَتَّى لَوْ تَرَكَهُ إِسْتَوْحَشَ. إِسْتَوْحَشَ from وَحْشَة. Until if the person misses the prayers of fasting, he feels uneasy. As if, you know, I have missed something because of the habit. And so Imam says, don't look at his prayers and fasting. وَلَكِنْ اِخْتَبِرُوهُمْ. If you want to really check and test their character, you test them in the صدق الحديث وأداء الأمانة. See whether he is truthful in his speech or not. Whether he is trustworthy in the amanat which is being, you know, the trust which is given to him. So these two things are the most important things. A person by the name of Zayd al-Sa'iq came to the sixth Imam and he says, "Imam, pray for me." Now when we say to the Imam, "Pray for me," what I'm thinking about it? Allah give me rizq. Huh? And what does Imam do? Imam said, "Okay, I'll pray for you." Look at his dua. Allahumma rzuqhum sidq al-hadith wa ada' al-amana. Allah bless them with truthfulness of speech and trustworthiness in the amanat. وَلْمُحَافِظَ عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. And so that they are also punctual in their prayers. اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ أَحَقُّ خَلْقِكْ. They are the most deserving of this from Allah, from your people. So, you know, do that for them. اللَّهُمَّ وَفْعَلْ بِهِمْ. The important thing is that even in this dua of the Imam for this Shia and the group of Shias who had asked for Iltimas dua, look at the sequence. He talks about truthfulness first, trustworthiness second, then he talks about punctuality of namaz. And I'm not saying namaz and roza is not important. I just want to highlight what the imams are saying, sidqul hadith and adawul amana. When it comes to truthfulness, there are different dimensions of it, and the Friday khutbah is not really appropriate to go into the details. But the most obvious thing is our speech. And I'll go back to the wordings in the ahadith that we have. You know, very beautiful. This is the beauty of the language of Arabic. The same word is used with difference in the signs makes a big difference. Talking about the tongue, which is the organ we use for creating sound and speech, you know, it says, جِرْمُهُ صَغِيرُ وَجُرْمُهُ كَبِيرُ. Same words, jim, ra, meem. One is with kasra, the other is with dhumma. جرمه صغير, the mass or the size of the tongue is very minor. وجرمه, but the crime of this is very great. And that is the all problem. As I say it many times, whether it is, you know, disputes at home to the international political scenes, everything has to do with the tongue, how things are being said. And this is where, you know, there is a beautiful symbolic way of describing this. Abu Hamza al-Thumali is a very prominent companion of the fourth Imam. You have Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. So he narrated once that the Imam said that on a symbolic level, إِنَّ لِسَانَ ابْنَ عَادَمْ يُشْرِفُ عَلَى جَمِيعَ جَوَارِحِهِ كُلَّ صَبَاحٍ. Every morning, just as when we see one another, we say, Salaamu alaykum. Good morning. Sabah al-khair. So even the organs communicate with one another on a symbolic level. And the tongue, every morning, turns to the other organs and says, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْتُمْ. How was your morning? How are you? And their response is very good. بِخَيْرٍ إِن تَرَكْتَنَا. We'll be fine if you leave us alone. Means we will be okay. Everything depends on you. And at the end, they say to the tongue, يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا نُفَابُ وَنُعَاقَبْ بِكْ. We are rewarded or punished because of you. So as long as you take care of yourself, we are okay. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about Sidq al-Hadith, it's actually to do with the issue of tongue on one dimension. Let me just end with one more hadith on this issue here. There was a person by the name of Abu Khammas, Abu Kahmas, who had come to visit the sixth Imam, and he says that our friend Abdullah bin Abu Ya'fur has conveyed his salams to you. Abdullah bin Abi Ya'fur was a very close companion of the Imam. He has many, many hadiths narrated from him. And he, at that time, he was not there, so he conveyed his salam to the Imam. And Imam responded by saying, Alayka wa alayhi salam. Salams be to you and him. Just a side point, you know, people many times come to us and say, you know, so-and-so has said salam to you. What should be the response? Alayka wa alayhi as-salam. On you and him be the salam. So you are saying salam to both of them. Then Imam says to Abu Kahmas, إِذَا أَتَيْتَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, when you come to Abdullah bin Abu Ya'fir again, when you see him, فَقْرِئُ السَّلَامِ, convey my salams to him and say to him that Ja'far bin Muhammad is saying to you, أُنظُرُ مَا بَلَغَ بِهِ عَلِيٌّ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You know, see what was the quality because of which Ali became very prominent in the eyes of Rasulullah. فَأَلْزِمُهُ, and try to follow that. And what were the qualities? He says, إِنَّمَا بَلَغَ مَا بَلَغَ بِهِ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Ali became so important in the eyes of Rasulullah بِصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ وَعَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ, because he was a truly embodiment of truth and trustworthiness. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, this has been emphasized by the sixth Imam. And so that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among the true followers of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wa salam, inshaAllah. Inna ahsan al-hadith kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-asr, inna al-insana la fi khusr illa al-lazina aman wa amil al-salihat, wa tawasaw bil-haqqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان العين الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب قابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. Few remarks about the issue of trustworthiness. This is a very important issue, and if you look at the wordings used again and again by the Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, it doesn't matter whether the other person who is giving the amanat in trust to you, whether he is a righteous person or a sinful person, whether he is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Ada al-amana applies in all situations. You know, one statement from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, where he says, ثَلَاثٌ لَمْ يَجْعِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِأَحَدٍ فِيهِنَّ رُقْصَ. There are three things where Allah has not given any permission to anyone. There is no excuse there. One is أَدَاءُ الْأَمَانَ إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ, conveying the trust back to the owner, whether he is a righteous person or a sinful person. Number two, والوفاء بعهد بالعهد للبر والفاجر, and to fulfill the promise that you have given, whether that person is a good person or a bad person, doesn't matter. It is on character. الوفاء بالعهد means to give that pledge or commitment or a promise, solid promise. وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, and third one, to be good to the parents, irrespective of their, you know, or their own character. بَرَّيْنِ كَانَ أَوْ بَرَّيْنِ أَوْ فَاجِرَيْنِ, whether they are good or bad, doesn't matter. You have to be kind towards them. An example here would be, you know, in the Battle of Khaybar, when the Muslims had put the fort of Khaybar under siege. And it took some time, a few days actually, until we know the story of Amir al-Mu'mineen going there and, you know, getting bringing about the victory for the Muslims. But before that, there was a time when Muslims started running out of their supply of food. And even the food, whatever they had, was now being rationed among them. And at that time, there was an employee of the Yahud, the Jewish people from the Khaybar, who was a shepherd. He was basically taking care of the herd of sheep for the Yahud. He somehow started moving in that area, and he saw the Prophet, the way he deals with his own people. Became, you know, impressed, went to the Prophet, asked him that, tell me about your religion. And he became a Muslim. And he was observing what's going on in the Muslim campsite. Once he became a Muslim, he said to the Prophet that, you have shortage of food. I have all these sheep. You know, I give it in your control. Rasulullah said, but this doesn't belong to you. You are an employee. This is amanat of the owners given to you to take care of them. Doesn't matter whether they are a Muslim or non-Muslims, even when you become a Muslim, doesn't mean all, you know, a mal of others that you have automatically becomes halal. No. You become pak, but doesn't mean your mal becomes pak. You know, you go and give it back to them. So he goes. He goes back to Khaybar, hands over the herd of sheep back to them, and then comes back. And he joined in that battle, and then he became a shaheed. But the important point is that even though the Muslims were in need at that time, The Prophet emphasized this point, that even though this is the mal of not only non-Muslims, but the non-Muslims who are actually now, you know, our hostile enemies, even then when it comes to the issue of amanat, you will not, you know, betray their trust. Salawat. Osama Zayd al-Shaham, another companion of the sixth Imam, you know, he says that one day the Imam turned to me and he said, "Iqra ala man tara annahu yuti'uni minhum wa ya'khudhu bi qawli." He says, "Oh Osama, when you see somebody who follows me, listens to me, obeys me, and takes my words, convey my salam to him. And tell him, Usikum bitaqwallah azza wa jal, and I advise you to maintain the righteousness, this consciousness of Allah's presence in your life, the taqwa, wal wara' fi dinikum, and to be, you know, cautious in the matters of your religion. Don't take it that easily. Wal ijtihad lillah, and struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work hard for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصدق الحديث وعداء الأمانة, and truthfulness in your speech and trustworthiness in what is being entrusted to you, وطول السجود, and prolong your sajda. Namaz and sajda comes later on. صدق الحديث وعداء الأمانة comes first. وحسن الجوار, and be a good neighbor of your neighbors. فَبِهَذَا جَاءَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He says, this is the message with which the Prophet came. This is the summary of what Islam is. And therefore he's emphasizing, أَدُّ الْأَمَانَ إِلَى مَنْ اِعْتَمَنَكُمْ عَلَيْهَا. You know, give back the amanat and the trust to those who entrusted you with it. Barran aw fajiran, whether he is good or bad, doesn't matter. Because the Prophet has said that يَأْمُرُ بِعَدَاءِ الْخَيْتِ وَالْمِخْيَةِ, because the Prophet used to emphasize to hand over the trust, even if it is so simple as a thread and a needle. What will be the worth of that? الْخَيْتِ وَالْمِخْيَةِ, one thread and the needle which is used there, even in that small, minor item, Rasulullah says, you know, do the ada of amana there. And this is where we see that, you know, even when it comes to the event of Hijrat, the Prophet asked Amir al-Mu'mineen to take his place in his bed, so that the enemies would not know that he's missing. And this is how he will get the opportunity to leave without being detected by them. But it was not only the issue of the life of the Prophet. One of the reasons was that the Prophet said that I have some amanat from the people of Makkah. Even those who don't believe in him still used to believe in him as an amin. So he said, I have some amanat. Make sure you convey them, give them back to those who were entrusted it to me, and then you come. And therefore, Ali spent 3 days in Mecca after that, fulfilling his mission. And so by staying there behind in Shab-e Hijrat, Ali did not only protect the life of the Prophet, but he protected the honor and the character of the Prophet. Because they could have said, oh, look at him. We thought he was Amin. But he left and took our things also with him. And these are the examples that we have to keep in mind. And again, in all these examples, the amanat is not of Muslims necessarily. It is of those who did not believe in the faith. Let me end with a powerful message. I think if this message is not imbibed by a Shia and Azadar of Hussein, there is nothing that can be done about that person. When it comes to Ada of Amanat, Abu Hamza al-Thumari again. He says, I heard Sayyid al-Abideen, Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, I heard him saying to his Shias, Alaykum bi'ada'i al-amana, I urge you to entrust the trust which has been given to you, to fulfill the trust. فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا By Allah, the one who has raised Muhammad as the Nabi, لَوْ أَنَّ قَاتِلَ عَبِيَ الْحُسَيْنِ بِنْ عَلِي بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبِ اِعْتَمَنَنِي عَلَى السَّيْفِ الَّذِي قَتَلَهُ بِهِ لَعَدَّيْتُهُ إِلَيْهِ He says, by Allah, the one who raised Muhammad as a Nabi, if the killer of my father, Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib, comes to me and gives me the same sword or the dagger that he used to kill my father, as an amanat to me, I will still fulfill that trust. Nobody else could have said this other than Imam Zainul Abidin. Whether it was Imam Hussein or Imam Muhammad al-Baqir or Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, because he's talking about his own father. And if we cannot understand that, I think we have to, you know, think about ourselves. This is the message for the Shias. This is the message for the Azadar of Hussein ibn Ali. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand these two powerful qualities which should be there among the mu'mineen, sidqul hadith and ada al-amana, inshaAllah. Allahumma salli ala sayyid al-mursaleen wa shafi al-mudhunabin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما حيا صار البدء والتغيان هادي بأبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.